will say, I think that quarantine looks good on us.
Yeah.
Because we do, like, it's been very, like, we have a routine that has been, like, very consistent. And also, it's, like, every single day for the past 5 months, we've sat down and eaten dinner together every single day. Every single day. Like, there's never been a time where it's, like, we skipped it. We forgot. We were running, like, it wasn't a big deal. Or he ate and over there, and I ate, like, that has never happened. Like, 5 months straight, every single day, like, we sit down, we watch our shows, we eat dinner, and it's, like, there's no world in which that would have ever happened had we not been in the conditions that we're in now.
I think, like, any key to a good relationship is obviously communication, and I think, like, obviously no one would have asked for this pandemic, but, like, you have to try and make the best of it. Like, you know, you take the hand that you're dealt, and I think given our circumstances, like, the enhanced communication that we experienced because we were the only people that we could communicate with, you know? But it's also, like, it almost couldn't have happened at a better time. Like, you would kind of love that. Welcome, like, such open talk, such transparency in the beginning of your marriage because, like, now we're going to, like, build and grow upon this.
You're listening to Real Love, Real Stories podcast. A podcast to share love stories, to learn about love, and to thrive in love. So no matter where you are on the spectrum of love, this is the place to be. My name is Kanu, and I'm the host, coming to you with another love story. And this time, it's being shared by someone near and dear to my heart, my cousin Andrea and her husband Kevin. Their marriage was featured in the New York Times, so look for the link in the show notes to read more about their wedding. Enjoy their love story.
Are you frustrated about not finding love? Have you been told that you are intimidating and unapproachable? The Single Black Woman's Advantage is a game-changing program that is helping many women change their narrative on how they are perceived into an advantage to become a love attractor. If you are ready to attract love, then click the link in the show notes to learn more and start your journey today.
Welcome to Real Love, Real Stories. This is the place to share stories, to learn about love, and to thrive in love. So why don't we start by you guys introducing yourselves to the audience?
Oh, I was literally, I'm Andrea. This is my husband, Kevin. We've been married for about 7 months, so very long time, very experienced. But we've been dating since 2014. We got engaged in 2018, and then we got married on New Year's Eve of this year of 2019 into 2020.
Nice.
Very lucky, very blessed.
Oh, nice, nice. I'm so excited to have you guys here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, why don't you take us back? Take us back to when this love story began.
Okay, sure, I'll take the lead here. So where it began? Well, I guess we started out as, like, friends first. I guess I always felt, like, a sort of inclination towards Dre. I call her Dre. I like to give all my friends, like, little nicknames, and it's funny.
He gives everybody he's ever met a nickname. You just say your name one time, and then after that, he'll never say your name again. You have a nickname.
But it was it was like an effortless friendship, but I also felt like there was something more there. I knew that, like, my favorite parts of her were really appealing to me, and I was, even though I was only, like, 25, I still felt like, you know, at that age, you kind of want something more. Like, you're just tired of the games and tired of being single. So I just felt like it was something that I wanted to try and pursue, like, romantically. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it worked out at first. I think I was maybe closer to her than I really was. You know, like,
recap. You also have to keep in mind that we were colleagues. So I had started a new job working at the same place that he was working. So we met in a professional setting.
Right.
But it was part of a program with a lot of young people. And so a lot of the people who you work with, we all basically move to this town to work together. So then you go to hang out with those people outside of work, and everyone has really crazy schedules. So we all kind of, like, stuck to each other. Uh-huh. And so we had met in a way that was, like, I was thinking more professionally because I had just started the job. So I wasn't really, like, walking in there being like, who's going to be my boyfriend or husband or anything like that. Whereas he had been there a while and he sees the pretty girl, and that's what he's thinking about.
Nice, nice. So yeah, I want to know, Kevin, so that moment when you first met her, describe that to me.
We talked first at work, you know, it was a very casual, brief conversation, you know, she just seemed nice. And then I think the next day or two, like the night after, like we went out and we talked and we had a chat. I mean, it definitely I'm not going to lie and say it was like some crazy movie, like dream sequence, like the Halo. Yeah. Like it wasn't, you know, it's not super, it wasn't anything like that. It was just, you never know. You're just living life. Like you can never choose those moments. I can't handpick certain moments and be like, this is the day I find my wife. Like, I wish it was that easy, right? Because then I would have scheduled this date a lot sooner and saved us some time. You know, it's just like when our paths came across, and I just think like, you know, we started growing, or my love for her started growing. So I think that's the biggest thing is like, love is a continuous thing. Even when you first find it, like, you know, all the people in the best marriages who, you know, been married longer than us would tell you that love is something that is like maintained and it's always growing. And it's ever changing. So to say that I find love is like I first found love, and then it like continued to blossom. Like
And it's also a completely different thing than it was back then too. It's like you think about how much when I'm almost 30 now, and we met when I was probably like 23. Uh-huh. And even like when I started like having really strong feelings for him, and even when we started getting really serious with one another back then. I think about what that was and what we are now, and it's still like completely different worlds and right. How much like we've grown and how much we've changed and how much like our priorities have shifted. The conversations that we have are, I don't want to say like they're more substantial than they were then, but they're about completely different things. Right. And like our values are in different places, and we talk about things that back then, even though we were in love, like we wouldn't have touched. And it's just, I don't know, it's really like...
No, but see, that's why I love her. Because, like, she articulated, like, my same sentiments. Like, that really is, like, what it is. Like, it's so hard for me to answer a question now in hindsight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm so blessed to have experienced so much and to have learned so much. So, whatever I was even expecting in that moment paled in comparison to, like, what it really is. Right? Like, when you first, like, you first see something, like, oh, like, this would be, like, a nice, like, new thing to have. But you... don't even know, right? It takes like a minute to learn and forever to master. So right, it's like, right. It was just so much better than I could have anticipated it. So I know that was a very long roundabout way to answer it. I'm not even sure if I answered it. I'll also warn you that I'm a very good spin doctor. Right?
You answered it in the best Kevin way that you could answer it. I love it. And I love that. Awesome. So, okay. So you met at work and then you're hanging out and getting to know each other. And I'll just drop that in here that I, you know, according to the New York article that was written for you guys, somewhere in there it mentioned about a date at a restaurant. So how did that come to be?
I'll let you tell me.
Actually funny because I think that he had been using our friendship to try to like get a date on the books a couple of times. And the first time I remember he was like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. And he was like, oh, do you want to like grab some food? Maybe go on a walk, maybe ball. And he named like three things that I was like, that's definitely a date. This guy's trying to take me on dates. And it was like very obvious. So that one, I was like, I don't know about that. Like, I wasn't sure yet. So then the second one, the one that's in the article, was when he basically was like, well, let's go grab some food. And I'm not going to turn that down. And so we like went to a Chili's, which is also hilarious. Because I will say Chili's is very good. But if you're talking in the context of a grand love story, I don't think you want to be like, we had a beautiful night at Chili's. I had a Bud Light and Southwest egg rolls. Like, that's not really, like, the love story you want to tell, especially not the New York Times. So when he asked that, I was like, oh, my goodness. but I remember, like, sitting there and being like, okay, like, you're just, like, having dinner. You order a drink, and then you start feeling like, okay, this is a date, I think. Like, it's, there was a million
I lured her in with Chili's. Right? That was the facade. That was like, oh, it's safe. It's Chili's. No pressure.
You know? And then it was like, and then it was when he paid. And I was like, oh, okay. Because it wasn't even like, you know, the struggle where it's like, oh, no, I'll get up. That thing, like, didn't happen. Like, it was very much like, I got this. I'm paying. Like,
nice.
This was a meal we had. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm on a date for sure. Because I didn't even have the opportunity to pretend like I was looking for my wallet. Who's gonna take it?
I like a guy who takes charge like that. Like, there's no question at all.
It's also nice too, because I think the one thing, and I might be jumping ahead a few questions, but I think it pertains to this too, is like one thing that was different about us that I think in past relationships both of us have dealt with is that whole like, I don't know what we are. I like him. I don't know if he likes me. Like, I don't know if he's gonna text me back. I'm sitting around waiting for a call. Like, we never did that. Like, we never really had to do the whole like drama in the beginning and jealousy in the beginning. Like, those, like, am I getting played? Am I not getting played? Like, the one thing I can say about Kevin is he was always consistent and he was always very forward with what he wanted.
I love it. Even me
being young and not being used to that, I remember even saying like, are you serious? Like, you really like me? Like, you're going to take me home to your parents? Like, are you serious? Like, there was a point where I literally was like, are you
verbatim,
serious?
Like those words. Yeah.
And wow. He was like, yes, yes. Like, or like very early on. So I feel like a lot of the games we didn't have to play, which is actually very like refreshing. I encourage it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think I think it also comes from someone like knowing what they want and being very confident in that and being very straightforward. He gave me that and it made a world of difference, I think, for sure.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, okay, Chili's date happens, and then...
Chili's date's going to follow me my whole life.
I mean, you know, it's not a bad restaurant, I don't think.
It's not a bad restaurant. It's just like, I don't know.
I think, I mean, maybe it's because we started... I think we started as like... Because we started as friends, it was just, like, so casual. So I felt like even though I wanted something more, I feel like there's no really blueprint to go that route, right? Like, how many, like, there are very few relationships to be like, oh, I was in the friend zone, and then we got married, right? Like, that's not I feel like it's not your typical story. But then again, maybe I need to listen to more of your podcasts. I'm not going to be wrong. But I'm just saying, you know, for the listeners out there, like, Chili's is not a dead killer, right? You never know.
Chili's is good.
Yeah.
If you go conversations of Southwestern egg rolls, you know, then you'd be all right. So.
Yeah. But I love what you said, though, in terms of like there was no question there. There were no games. And there's just a lot of that happens in a lot of couples when they're trying to get to know each other and, you know, playing games and stuff. It's like, what's the point? Like, you like somebody, you like somebody. Talk to me about the engagement. How was that?
I didn't do anything. I just showed up and got a ring.
Obviously the both of us were like really big on family.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's like really important in our lives, like, you know, because we have such like morals and values that align with one another. It's like part of the huge reason why we love each other. Mm-hmm. But I know that she said she always wanted to get married, like or proposed to in front of her family. So I internalized that. I always knew that had to be a part of my plan. And it just so happened that around the time like I purchased the ring, it was like later in the winter. So mm-hmm. we got an invite to go and spend Christmas with her sister in Texas. So of course, like where all our family is. So I told her sisters like ahead of time, like, I'm gonna propose. Like, I need your help. Like, let's surprise her. Do something really sweet, unexpected. So on Christmas Eve, we were spending the night at her sister's house. And, you know, we were getting really dressed up. Everybody's in on the surprise. Even her nephews were, like, 9 and 5, which at the time I did not know, which would have been worrisome because they're 9 and 5.
To their credit, they were
sealed.
My nephews knew I was getting proposed to, and they didn't say anything all day long, that blew my mind.
That's impressive.
I think that was the first time where I was like, oh, my gosh, they're not babies anymore. Like, so, they're capable of keeping a secret.
It was funny that day, too, because, like, Dre didn't want to get dressed up. She's like, well, it's just our family. You know, it's Christmas Eve. I was going to wear sweats. But, like, it's all going to be on camera. So, like, her sister had to get her going and get all dolled up and stuff.
Well, she was kind of like, we should do, like, a cocktail party and we'll drink champagne and everybody will, like, get dressed up and all that stuff. And it sounded great in theory, but I was the last person to get there because we flew in from New York. I missed a bit, like, I had a nightmare of getting there. He was already in Texas and I was still in New York, just like trying to get a flight. So I didn't have anything to wear. I didn't have my nails done. I didn't, like, all these things that I was just like, I'm so happy I'm here. I don't care about this. And she's like, no, we need to go find you something to wear. So, like, day of, we were, like, going to the mall and, like, trying on all this stuff. And me just thinking, like, this is super unnecessary. Not, like, this is what you're getting engaged in. But
So part of the ruse was, even though it was Christmas Eve, me and Dre, we always, whenever we go out, we always stop in a photo booth, like if any bar ever has them. So we have like a bunch of little Polaroids all stacked up. It's like a little cute memento.
Years and years worth.
Yeah, like, you know, that's just like our thing. So for Christmas, we're like, let's set up our own little photo booth station. We had like a whole little like a drop, you know, wallpaper. We had little props. We had the little Polaroid cameras. So we were like pretending to pose for a Christmas photo. And that's when I took the ring out and I got down and I proposed to her. It's funny because I feel like moments before, I think she knew something was in the works because, like, her best friend randomly showed up out of nowhere, and she's like, why are you here?
Unless something I was happy to see her, but she's also, like, not the kind of person who comes over without being invited. Like, she doesn't just, like, drop in on people.
Right.
And so I was like, hey, like, what's going on? And luckily, it was, like, pretty much minutes after that we got engaged. Otherwise, I would have been like, what are you doing here? That's really weird. But I was happy that she was there. I was happy that, you know, my family were there.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. So your family is there and your best friend showed up and...
Mm. It was really nice.
Oh, nice. So when was the engagement? What year?
Christmas Eve of 2018.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then the wedding was December 31st, 2019. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a December, like... enthusiast. Like, I always knew I was going to get married on either New Year's Eve or some point in December. Like, I love it. I feel like everything's magical outside, glistening lights, like the holiday spirit, dress up. Like, I'm obsessed with that vibe. And so I knew I was going to be a December bride one way or another. And I just got really lucky that our venue was available on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. And I mean, the photos and everything else is just amazing. Everything.
Shout out to Jenny Butler. They did a great job. That was a great venue.
So my next thing that I always ask my couples, you know, people living together, getting to, I don't know if you guys lived together before, but I kind of want to know, what are some annoyances that you have to deal with each other?
How much time do you have? I'm just kidding. No, Kevin's actually a great roommate. He definitely cares. He goes above and beyond. I think I always like joke he'd be a really great stay-at-home dad because he just like loves to vacuum and nobody loves to vacuum. But what are the bad things that he does?
Oh, yeah, me, I'm sure you can fix that.
He talks too much. That's one thing that, like, you can't escape because he's always around.
Admittedly. Yo, count the, listeners, jot down the minutes when this is done, all right? Like, my voice and her voice. We'll do real numbers.
But he's always talk too much to you. Though.
I guess, I don't know.
He's not good at refilling the water purifier.
Oh, okay.
He'll pour a glass of water and leave the pitcher empty on the counter.
That is talking too much.
How do you expect there to be more water for anybody else, and not only that, for yourself, the next time you get thirsty, if you just leave it on the counter empty? I don't understand.
I would say my biggest thing for Dre would probably be she drops a lot of crumbs sometimes.
Oh my god!
Just step in.
If you need me, you can just follow the like pile of crumbs. And you will find me. I drop food on everything I eat. I spill everything I drink. It's really bad. And a lot of times I'll, like, eat and look at him and just to see if he saw it, like, go my shirt now, just to see.
I would feel like those little things, though, those little quirks, you just have to understand your person. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially, like, during this pandemic, like, we got married and then we got quarantined together, right? So there was, like, we're going to be on top of each other. There wasn't a way around it. We both work from home now. Yeah. But, like, the thing is, like, you need to remember, like, that you love your person and, like, why you love your person and not focus on, like, the one or two things that you dislike.
Right.
But, like, sometimes it could be easy to forget that when you're living on top of each other, you know, and, like, it is, you know, it's a crazy time. Like, you just, no one's really lived through this shit before.
Yeah.
This are different times for sure. And
yeah,
a lot of relationships are on trial because of the whole COVID, you know.
So yeah, it's wild.
I will say, I think that quarantine looks good on us.
Yeah.
Because we do, like, it's been very, like, we have a routine that has been like very consistent. And also it's like every single day for the past 5 months, we've sat down and eaten dinner together every single day. Every single day. Like there's never been a time where it's like we skipped it, we forgot, we were running like it wasn't a big deal, or he ate and over there and I ate. Like that has never happened. Like 5 months straight, every single day, like we sit down, we watch our shows, we eat dinner, and it's like there's no world in which that would have ever happened had we not been in the conditions that we're in now. And it's like, yeah, before we had dinner together, but it was hit or miss. Like some days it's like I'm working late, or it's like some days I have to go do this thing, or there's a whole world out there that makes all like distractions run everywhere.
Right.
And so we've been really good about spending this time together and balancing each other out, I think.
That's no, 100%. I think like any key to a good relationship is obviously communication. And I think, like, obviously no one would have asked for this pandemic, but, like, you have to try and make the best of it. Like, you know, you take the hand that you're dealt. And I think given our circumstances, like, the enhanced communication that we experienced because we were the only people that we could communicate with, you know. But it's also, like, it almost couldn't have happened at a better time. Like, you would kind of love that welcome, like, such open talk, such transparency in the beginning of your marriage, because like now we're gonna like build and grow upon this, and like we've already like torn down walls just learning how to communicate with one another. Like it sounds simpler than it is. It's not just like using words in English and like, you know, it's like you're understanding each other's like tone. Like sometimes like the biggest thing I think when me and Dre like argue, right, is I'll be like, Dre's like, oh well, I didn't say anything like that severe. Well, I'll be like, okay, well, I only listen to like your tone because that's how I speak. Like when I like, you know, so it's like sometimes it's how we like we perceive things differently. So then when you're getting into an argument, like, you know, if I say something, then you need to like interpret it from my end. But on the same end, when you say something, then I need to interpret it from your end, like putting each selves in each other's shoes, or you know, or whatever. Yeah. Like I don't know, just communication, talking it out. Because at the end of the day, like you two love each other, so like you're gonna figure it out, you know. So
that's what I think anyway.
That's what I stand on. That's what I believe. So you know.
No, that's great. And you know, part of the question that I ask is the, sort of the advice that you give to other couples, and it sounds like that one is a strong one for you guys, is communication between the two of you. But if you want to add more to that one, let me come back in a second. But I want to finish the other part. And here, what are, you know, on the flip side of that, what are some things or, you know, qualities that you love about each other?
Kevin is like always in a perpetual, he's just a perpetual good mood guy.
Oh.
And it's really hard to just be like positive all the time. Especially just if you just like look outside or get on the internet. and so I think it's like very affirming to have someone who is just sickly optimistic.
Yeah.
And it's very helpful. And he does that really well.
I try it.
Yeah. He's just like, it's impossible to be mad at him too, because he's always just like, like a little excited puppy all the time.
I know. I just feel like blessed, like for everything that I've experienced in life, everything that I have. You know, so just like, I don't know, it could always be worse, right? That's my mindset. So like, why not be happy, right? Like, oh my God, just, you know, there's a reality that I couldn't even dream of that are so bleak. Now it just sounds super cynical, which I also might be. Not one of my most lovable traits though. But one thing I love about Dre though, Dre is so strong. Like to me, like her resolve, like her will, her determination, like all of that is embodied, like when the word strength, it's like an umbrella for a bunch of other really nice adjectives. But I just like feel like she's a force, you know, like what she represents, like her whole like being. So I feel like I love that behind me. And sometimes I feel like selfish saying that, because I feel like I benefit from that because I'm inspired by it. But at the same time, it's her aura. So just, you know, take that for what it is, but that's like why I love her. So, you know, just like what she represents, what she is. She
motivates me. That's beautiful. It makes my heart happy to hear that. Yeah, so that's awesome. So back to, I loved how you guys started talking about communication and how it's even more important in this day and age of COVID, right? And the stay home and working together and all that. What other advice would you have or tips for couples to make their relationship work?
I think the one thing that, and I think it just goes with communication too, is it's just like not brewing, like not letting resentment brew. Mm. And just like when you keep it and you internalize it and you're mad about one thing and then it's 5 days later and you're still annoyed about one thing. And it's like, he also has no idea because you never said anything.
It's happened.
And it's like, and when those things come out, it's just, it doesn't benefit anyone. It's awkward. It's weird. Cause it's also just like, what are you even talking about? And I think that like one thing both of us do, even when it's annoying, is if I'm upset about something, I'll be like, hey, I just really didn't like that you said this. I just really didn't like that you did this. And we have those conversations wherever we are. Like, we could literally be waiting for the subway, and it's like, I know I'm mad about something. Mm-hmm. And if I just say, hey, I really didn't like that you did this, and he's like, oh, I didn't even know, or vice versa. And then, like, by the time the subway comes and we get on, we're already over it.
Yeah,
because it's good. Just, it's usually just a very quick acknowledgement of the thing and then an apology. It's usually not some, because we don't fight about like anything big. Like, if anything, it's like, I just really didn't like that you didn't, you know, do the dishes when blah, 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 blah. And it just made me feel like I had to do everything that day. And it was just a lot for me, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, now he knows, now we've said sorry, or I've said sorry, or whatever. And like, we're off and we're over it. And I think that just like that simple sentence, I really didn't like when you did this, it made me feel really bad when you did this. Or like, I kind of felt blah, blah, blah. And that, I think that's helped us not to have like blow up fights. Like, we're not like the type, we don't really like yell at each other.
They never throw anything.
Yeah, like when people get into the fights that we see on TV, I'm just like, why are they so upset? Or like, this, like, I can understand people being upset, but I think a lot of it is because you let things brew.
Right.
And you don't test them, when it's so much easier just to like get it out.
Yeah, I totally agree. When I worked as a therapist, I used to see couples coming to see me. And that was one of the things that would happen, is that, you know, that resentment. Something happens and then you hold it in, you don't say it, and then it builds up. And then when you get to the point where you start fighting, it's like an explosion. And then it's not healthy then, you know?
Right.
So that's awesome that you guys talk about, you know, in the moment or at the earliest, as soon as you can talk about it. So anything you want to add, Kevin, to that?
I think just piggybacking on all that, it's all like kind of like communication based, but even the, like, beneath that, like, underlying fact is the respect. Like, if you don't respect your partner,
that's a
it doesn't
big
even
one.
Matter what you talk about. You know
that's
what I'm saying? Like, her words will, or his words will, fall by the wayside. So like, it comes with the respect first. And I think like, if you're going to put a ring on it, then you should already kind of be there.
Mm.
Like, I feel like, right. Like, not to say that you guys, you know, if you're listening at home, now is a better time to start than ever. Okay. I mean, because honestly, like, you need that more so than anything. Like,
yeah,
with respect comes understanding, comes communication, comes growth. So
I feel like that should be on a t-shirt or something.
Right. Which is a poster.
All right, we'll launch that, the three of us. That's but yeah, no, definitely. 110%. Got to have the respect for one another.
Because
then you're really going to empathize with her and like, you're listening to what she has to say. And then,
right.
And then act on it. And that's the third part, right? Respect,
right.
Respect, communication, then acting upon what your partner's asking of you. Because even once you hear it, it might be hard to do it sometimes. So like, sometimes... And I think, like, when you have tasks in general, like, sometimes looking at a big one goal is a lot. So you break it down. She likes to say, like, bird by bird, like, brick by brick, you know. Like, if she wants to be better and improve on something, like, take it, you know, one step at a time, you know, so.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Was there a question that you guys were hoping I would ask you that I didn't ask that you want to talk about?
Whenever she says she's not hungry, you just always order extra. I always just order extra food just in case, always.
Yeah. If I say no, I'm probably...
You're sharing plates.
Yeah,
no, that's about it.
Yeah. Kevin, also, this is, I think it's like, I've never seen anybody else do this, but Kevin will always give me the last bite of his food. which I think is insane. So sweet. But like also like the highest form of love, because I'm like, I don't know if I could give you the last bite of like a really delicious piece of pizza, but he'll give me his and it's very sweet.
Oh my God, that is so sweet.
I don't know. For some reason, her happiness makes me happy. I think that's just...
Oh. It's not, like, especially when the food is so good and I'll eat it and I'm like, oh my God, I know that is so good. I can't believe you just gave me that.
That is, that's love right there.
I also love doing activities with your partner. Like, I advise that a lot. Like, it's just, it's fun because, like, you're communicating, like, you're interacting with one another, you're building memories you look back upon and laugh at and enjoy. Like, I always try to get her in the kitchen with me. And I think that, like, because of the situation, we've had a lot more time to, like, we've been staying in. Places have been closed, so we've been cooking one another. But it's really fun. It's really great. We love to learn and discover new things together. Mm. Like, we learned how to grow green onions. Like, we learned how to cook certain food items, like how to make cilantro.
We've had a
like,
lot of fun learning.
Having like, alavaga sauce.
Learning and liking new foods.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, obviously, like, we're in New York City, so we had a bunch of very scary months. When the pandemic first started, and so now we're kind of getting in the mode of going outside and like taking a nice walk every once in a while, which I think has been great for us too, because there was weeks where I didn't even go downstairs and check the mail because I was too scared to go outside.
Oh my God.
And Kevin would have to try to beg me to like go up to the roof with him and like just sit, but it's like very like it was a scary time, and there was constant sirens outside, and just like it was a scary world. And so now another thing I think of that's helped us like bond and get out and relax has been like going on nice walks and going on nice picnics and just things that, you know, we can still do 6 feet apart from people, but not in our apartment. So that's been nice.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I like to do this couples challenge, TikTok style.
Okay.
Okay. So who initiated the first kiss?
Kevin.
Me.
And then who said I love you first?
Kevin.
Me. It'll be easy. It'll be easy.
Who's more romantic?
Me? Actually, I don't know. Actually, I like the thing I am, but she's probably more. Yeah.
I'm just a better planner. Like, I plan stuff for us to do way more than he does.
I just feel shit. I'm more emotional.
He's
That's
more
a different
emotional.
Word.
I'm more
That's fair. I would have chosen a first date. That's fair.
Okay. So who apologizes first after a fight?
He always apologizes, even when he's not wrong. And I'm like, oh, he's
going to
do it.
I like, so how I grew up in my household, like my mom always taught me, never go to sleep angry. And I feel like I internalized that. That's the whole thing we talked about with resentment before. When you let shit build and fester, you start inventing like new scenarios in your head.
Right.
Like, oh, why did she do this? It's because of that. You start pulling these strings together that have nothing to do with one another. Like, you should just fucking ask. It's so much simpler.
Yeah.
Right.
That's my 2 cents.
There's some, like, early in our relationship, we used to call it Battle of the Brats. Because we would both be mad at each other and then just see how long we could, like, not talk. And it would be like, I don't know, is he going to say sorry? Am I going to say sorry? I'm not going to say sorry. I'm going to make him say sorry. And he's like, I'm not going to say sorry. I'm going to make her say sorry. Those days are behind us now, obviously. Battle of the Brats.
I love it. So who's the funny one?
Dre is funny. I think I'm also funny.
Uh-huh. He's funny, but I'm definitely funnier. I don't really think it's like a...
I feel like she has higher peaks, but I have a broader audience.
Oh. So
that comes back to him talking more. He has a lot more options to get laughs because he just always has the floor.
I make myself laugh. Does that count?
Actually, that counts.
Oh, see, there you go. She's a pro. I'm going through her opinion, so.
Who's the most patient?
Kevin.
I think I am, yeah.
And who's the better cook?
Me.
Ugh. It's pretty close. By hair.
The difference is like, I'm like, if in the world of cooking, this is all fake, but I would be a more like professionally trained chef, and Kevin is more like the guy who opened a food truck that everybody loves. You know what I mean? So it's like, I could have a restaurant, but his food truck is still like banging, but it's like, he put an entire stick of butter in here that he didn't measure.
So yeah, all the great chefs say they cook on feel. All right?
Yeah. Like, Bobby, I'm like, I set a timer. Like,
Gordon Ramsay got rolling around the meat thermometer.
But still, like, there's like a line out the door, out the street for his food truck.
That's funny. Well, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I'm
this is great.
So excited that you guys took time to chat with me and sharing your story with the audience. And, you know, it's a beautiful love story. Of course, I'm biased, but it's beautiful. So, yeah, anything else you guys want to add?
No, I mean, thank you again for having us. Love to talk and share. And, you know, hopefully if anyone's listening, you know, whatever you can take from this, if it's one thing, you know, I'm glad and hopefully it helps.
Yeah.
And
then I just think, hopefully like, you said something helpful.
And even just, like, moving forward, like, I love still talking to, like, other couples, too. Like, even prior to us getting married, as we were going on through our relationship, like, even at, like, the workplace, like, my trusted older, like, elder confidants, like, I love hearing about relationships. Because, like, they've already navigated all the landmines, you know, or all the little battles that you run into. Right, so they teach you how to navigate it. Like, you know, it's your parents, your older friends, you know. So I think don't be afraid to talk about stuff. You know, marriage is something that, like, you're going to work on. You're going to grow in. When you get married, you're new at it, right? Anytime you're new at something, you're going to have to learn. You're going to get better. So yeah. I think it's all good, you know. So you're in it with the best person you could be, you know. So.
Aww. Thank you so much for listening. And all the way to the end, I am genuinely so grateful. So now you can continue to show your support in a few different ways. The first one is, if you can think of someone who might benefit from this episode, please send it to them. And the second thing is, we all are on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and the like. So please share this episode. And I love it when people tag me to their post. And three, head over to iTunes. You can leave a review and you can rate this episode. All your feedback is very helpful and it helps this podcast get visible so others can listen to all these great stories. Thank you so much. Till next time.